Recorded live high atop the John Keehan Building in beautiful Midtown Portsmouth, Virginia, it's Phantasmo After Dark with your host, Rob Floyd, and co-host, Sam Batman. Tonight's topic, something completely different. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the old podcast. Hey, Sam.
Hey.
Hey, thanks for joining us.
Back in the lounge.
Yeah, thanks for joining us via satellite here in the lounge. The big, expensive Phantasmo After Dark satellite we've got up there.
That's right.
Sponsored by AT&T. tonight's topic, I said something completely different real quick for everybody. We're not going to be talking about a specific movie or genre of cult movies tonight. We thought we'd do something kind of fun and kind of different. Does anybody remember the old ad you would see in the back of comic books growing up? You don't see them as much anymore, I guess, in comics, but the stuff that you had to have and wanted, but most of us never got, I think. You know, the stuff like the life-size submarine or the deadliest kung fu secrets or all that good stuff. Did you ever get any of that stuff, Sam? Did you ever send away for any of it?
I remember sending away for something once, and, you know, back in the 70s when they would say, allow 4 to 6 weeks for delivery, and it was more like 2 months.
Yeah.
You know, you would send for this at the beginning of the summer, and you were lucky to have it by the time school started back.
Yeah.
And it was such a surprise when it finally showed up in the mail. Oh, there's a package for me. It's got my name on it.
Do you remember what it was that you sent away for?
I do not. I have no idea what
it
was.
It left that great an impression on you then.
Well, you know. It was a long time ago.
Well, okay, well, let's hit it from a different angle, because if not, that would have been a real short podcast. Is there any of that stuff you remember that you really wanted but never got? I know there's a few of them that I was, like, dying to send away for, but my folks would never let me do it, you know?
Oh, I know there were many, many that I was curious about. The Foot Locker full of soldiers, the 7-foot ghost.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
X-ray specs.
Yeah, yeah,
And, of course, you know, that perennial favorite, Sea Monkeys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I tell you what, let's start right off with the X-ray specs, because that's one everybody has probably seen. I finally got a pair of these a few years ago, and not through mail order. It was some novelty shop or something. They had them on a rack, and it's to say they look just like the ones, or the pictures you'd see in the comics, you know. It says X-ray specs right on the lens of the glasses, and has the swirly little piece of cardboard in there. And what it was, now, if for anybody who's never seen these in person, it was a pair of plastic glasses, like I said, with a piece of cardboard in the front, swirly design, and a little hole cut out in the middle where you could look through with a piece of red cellophane or red cloth or something over the hole. When you would look at your hand through that and the way the light would hit it, you'd almost see like a line within your hand, you know, the fingers, the line of the fingers, like a ghostly image around the line. So it gave if you stretch your imagination a great deal, maybe you were seeing your bones, you know, but, no, they did not work, surprisingly enough, but
I'm shocked that for only $1 American you got a product that did not allow you to see through skin and bones.
You know? But it says X-ray vision right in the ad. I mean, you know, come on, man, for a dollar.
It says,
why isn't the army using these?
Be able to look through flesh.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I was so happy when I finally got a pair of these. I saw them in the store. I knew they weren't going to work. I mean, I had no illusions about that. But just to have a pair of this longed after, I guess, is that the correct way to say it, thing from my childhood that you would see every time you'd open a comic book, you would see that ad there somewhere. And actually get your hands on something like that in person, you know, that's still around. Because some of this other stuff, like you were talking about, there's army men.
Oh, yes.
Man, I remember seeing that. It was usually on the back cover of a comic, or it took a whole full page inside the comic.
Yes.
And
yes,
it was like, what, how many hundred army men?
Oh, I'm looking for an ad like that. It's, let's see, 4 tanks, 4 jeeps, 4 battleships, 4 cruisers, 4 sailors, 4 riflemen, 8 machine gunners, 8 sharpshooters, 4 infantrymen, 8 officers, and check this out, you got women, 8 waves and 8 whacks.
The women.
You got 4 bombers, 4 trucks, 8 fighter planes, 8 cannons, 4 bazooka men, and 4 marksmen, all packed in a footlocker.
Okay, now you're looking at an actual ad for, on an old comic,
yes,
right?
I am. I have pulled this. It was a buck and a quarter
awesome.
To get this entire army.
So you're smelling the ad. You're immersing yourself in the experience.
Yes, but I have also found a picture of the actual soldier.
Okay, I was going to get to that too. Now, now you may hear some, in addition to the cocktail glass clinking, while I imbibe a tasty beverage here, you may hear some pages flipping throughout this podcast, because I have the ultimate reference book for what we're talking about right now, and I'm going to do a plug for this guy. Mail Order Mysteries by Kirk Damaris, maybe.
Yeah.
He's a guy that writes the Secret Fun blog online, and I tell you, this book, everything we're going to talk about tonight is probably in this book, and it is such a joy to read, and the reference book for this type of stuff. So anything we start talking about, I may try to flip and find here to get a little more info on it. But yeah, these soldiers you said you found a picture. I'm looking at one right now, too.
Yeah, how they're all made of flat plastic that's probably less than a 16th of an inch or so.
Yeah, they were almost 2D is what they were. And the footlocker was like a little cardboard, small little cardboard box. It was only, I don't know, how many inches long. It wasn't near as big.
It should not need to be larger than a shoebox.
Yeah, but I don't think it was that big at all. Oh, no, wait, here it is. Dimensions right here. 6.5 by 3 by 2 3/8.
Oh, so that's like a box of kitchen matches.
Yeah, that's a big. all that treasure for $1.25 was in that little box.
Mm-hmm.
But you had to have it. You wanted it.
Well, yeah, because they had the regular army. They had the Revolutionary War soldiers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wasn't there a Cowboys and Indians set? Cowboys and Native American set?
Engines. And
that one came with horses.
Yeah, and there was the Roman soldiers.
Yes.
They had the chariots and the knights.
Mm-hmm.
Man, there's tons of these. And the this one I don't remember. There was a pirate one, too, I think, was in older comics. I've never seen that one. But that was apparently one also. But I do remember the Roman soldiers and the Revolutionary War soldiers and the army men, seeing that over and over and over again.
Oh, yes. Here's the ad for with the Romans, you got 132 pieces.
Ooh.
Here's one that is just, it's all ships. 132 fighting ships for $1.50.
Wow.
Okay? Because you get mine layers and PT boats and submarines and... nuclear missiles. You get nuclear missiles.
2D plastic nuclear missiles.
Yes. Yes. The company in New York is Helen of Toy. Which is a great name for a toy
that
company.
That is an awesome name. Helen of
Toy.
Oh,
here's the Revolutionary War soldiers. You got 204 pieces. You got 2 complete armies.
Oh, yeah, there it is. I'm looking at it, too. But that was $1.98, though. Now, you had to spend big money on that. So.
Well, yeah, because you got 2 dozen Mohawk Indians and 36 Dragoons.
Oh, well.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Awesome.
Now I've got a picture of the entire set laid out in what looks like a tray.
Oh.
Oh.
Nice.
Or what a disappointment when you actually get them.
I mean, these things literally were just over two-dimensional. I mean, not much more than that. You turn them sideways, you can barely see them.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Oh, man. But, you know, what do you want for a dollar?
Yeah. I mean, it was a simpler time. We had smaller demands.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You used more imagination with this thing.
I tell you, a couple of things that I remember a lot. You remember the ad for the 10-in-1 scope?
Vaguely, yes.
That was I remember seeing that, and because I like to go play it in the woods when I was a kid, like, you know, anybody else did back then. I thought, oh, this would be cool to have, you know, because it had a compass on it and had a magnifying glass and you could turn it into a microscope or a telescope, and you could use the magnifying lens to start a fire. And and I never saw one up close, you know, and never got, like I said, I never could order any of this stuff. But when I finally saw one as an adult, and I'm looking at a picture of one right now, it's a little piece of clear plastic, which looks like, you know, it would fall, if you dropped it, it would shatter.
Mm-hmm.
And it does have a compass.
I see it.
And to make a telescope, you're looking through just two different lenses, almost like one lens of a binocular.
It's a less sophisticated version of those glasses that Johnny Depp had in Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, pretty much, with a compass.
Or the ones that Nick Cage had in National Treasure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking at the picture right now. I'm like, wow.
But wait a minute. You might be looking at the binocular eyeglasses.
No, this is the 10-in-1
scope. Oh, the
10-in-1
scope. Okay, because there was another thing I'm looking at, too, also binocular eyeglasses. But, yeah, the 10-in-1 scope was pretty much what you were saying, except it was clear plastic, and it also had a compass on it. So if you got lost in the woods, you know, hopefully on a clear day, you'd be okay. There's so much of this stuff I remember seeing over and over. Of course, the king ad of all time, the Charles Atlas fitness program.
Oh, yeah.
That was from, God, what was that? That was like from the 50s through the 70s, wasn't it?
That ran a long, long time.
Yeah. Man, yeah. Charles Atlas will make you a man.
Yes. Hero of the beach. In fact,
yeah.
Such a long-running staple. Of course, Grant Morrison turned that into an actual character in his run on Doom Patrol.
Oh, that's awesome.
Remember that Fleck Mentallo, Man of Mystery?
Oh, damn, you're right. Man, when he
used his powers of muscle mystery, this halo that the hero of the beach would appear over his head.
Oh, that's fantastic, man! And you know, and Charles Atlas, that was a real guy, and man trying to make a buck. You know, can't fault him for that. But
what
what you got was basically, I think, just some pamphlets and booklets on exercise.
Right, exactly.
So it's not, the ad wasn't misleading, really. It's just like anything else, any other diet or exercise program. It's like, here you go, exercise. You can take these pills, but exercise.
You'll get out of it what you put into
That's right. Now, along with the Charles Atlas, do you remember the Hercules wristband? You'd always see this ad, too. It was a fist with this double-buckled wristband.
That sounds very familiar.
I remember seeing that all the time and thinking, oh, that'd be cool to have a big leather wristband, you know? Judging by the picture, from what I've seen, is exactly what you got.
Yes.
It looks just like the drawing. So that was worth $1. I mean, you know, spend $2, get one for each wrist.
That's right. Looked like the Prince of Power.
Yeah. I mean, some of the stuff was, you know, it's what you pay for, but some of it was pretty true to the ad. But a lot of them, though, the more fun ones, were not. Like the, you remember the ventriloquist dummy? You could get for like $3.
Yep.
And you're thinking, oh, great, you know, I'll get one of those big Charlie McCarthy dummies for $2. And then the thing they send you is this little doll with fabric arms and legs and plastic hands and a blow mold plastic head that's probably half the size or a quarter the size of the actual ventriloquist dummies.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, because these were big in the 70s, you remember the Kung Fu craze.
Oh, yes, sir.
I'm looking at the Black Dragon Fighting Society.
Oh, brother.
You become the deadliest man alive.
I was saving that for later, but let's jump into it now.
I'm sorry to steal it, but it's right here with Count Dante.
Count Dante, the deadliest man alive. That is probably the pinnacle of for me, my love of the comic book ads. That's the one that I just remember so much and so often. And, of course, I was... as a young kid, and still, yeah, I love martial arts, and I got into it back then when I was a teenager and all.
Right.
Of course, grew up loving Bruce Lee and Black Belt Theater and all that great stuff. But this, seeing this in every comic growing up, Count Dante, and that really intense, dramatic pose in that picture at the top, and then the deadliest man alive.
And the thing was, you know, it's a natural target audience. You have a bunch of pre-adolescent or adolescent boys, right? You're reading superhero comics for the most
exactly.
part.
Exactly, yeah.
Here's Charles Atlas saying he will make you a muscular, manly man, and Count Dante will teach you how to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't going to cost you very much money. Why not get them both, you know, and you will become. No one will know who you really are, but by night, you will plow your neighborhood, right?
That's right, and it came along, like you said, at the right time, hitting the right audience, mm-hmm. and the right time that, you know, in the late 60s, early 70s, a kung fu craze was building. And this ad was just dramatic and right in your face. And it's now learn the world's deadliest fighting secrets.
Yes.
And Count Dante, let's see, wait, the undefeated supreme grandmaster of fighting arts. Yeah. So he, you know, he claimed, won the world overall fighting championship. That is, was something that didn't exist. After defeating the world's top masters of judo, boxing, wrestling, kung fu, karate, aikido in death matches.
Well, you never saw this on television. So this was something special. It wasn't for the masses. It was only for those of us who read comics.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And what you got was this little booklet. It said World's Deadliest Fighting Secrets with drawings and then pictures of, you know, basic martial arts, mm-hmm. self-defense moves. But it was supposed to have taught you the death touch, I think, was another one. I don't know if they taught that in here or if he says that he knew it. But, you know, come to find out, this guy, Count Dante, not his real name, surprisingly enough, started out as a hairdresser and to celebrities and was a martial artist also. Changed his name to Count Dante and founded Dante Martial Arts. See what he did there? Declared himself the Grand Master. And I think, I'm not sure if he formed the Black Dragon Fighting Society for this. I can't recall. But there's a lot of other huckster martial arts guys over the years who have claimed relation to the Black Dragon Fighting Society in one way or another. I've done a little research into this recently. Just because I was just fascinated about it and the nostalgia catching up to me. But he's passed away quite a few years ago, but he'd gotten some trouble with the law with like selling fire to somebody else's dojo one time. And he was like one of those guys, you know, in the movies almost, you know, challenging the other school and all that.
Oh yeah. I'm looking at his picture here. I found his picture and I found the thing about the dim mock.
There it is. Yeah. The dim mock death touch.
Oh God.
You too can learn it. But that is just one of those iconic ads from comics. And, you know, that's one thing I'm sorry about. I don't notice it in comics today. I don't think they have ads like this to order, send away for stuff.
They don't. And I think it's, when comics moved off the spinner racks, out of the drugstores and the newsstands and into the comic book specialty shops.
Yeah.
And the industry became more insular, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And those ads started to disappear. And they've been replaced by house ads.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and so all you see anymore is ads for other books in the company's line.
Well, you know, maybe if they would bring back these other ads like this, they could afford to lower the prices of comics.
You know, you don't even see. Remember every September you would get the double page spread about the upcoming Saturday morning cartoons?
Yeah. Yeah, well, they don't have Saturday morning cartoons anymore.
That's right. That's
so
right.
So that spread's gone. And, man, yeah, you'd look forward to that ad.
And they don't encourage you to sell grit.
There's another one. You know, that whole faction of selling stuff. Mm-hmm. Grit was one, or then what was the other? It was like earn X amount of prizes by selling
prizes
these
for
products.
Cash, yes.
Yeah, prizes for cash. That was it.
With Captain O of Olympic.
Oh, that's right, man.
Oh, cause they got some good stuff here. You got a tent and a telescope and what looks to be a jukebox, some RC cars, a boombox.
Oh, yeah, like a
bicycle.
Bicycle,
you know,
I was going to say, yeah.
Good stuff, a walkie-talkies.
Oh, yeah, there's a hairdryer, telescope, rocket, tape deck,
nice,
skateboard.
Nice prizes here.
Yeah, but you had to hustle to sell this stuff.
Sales
Leadership Club of America was one of them.
Yes, yes.
Man, you know, I wonder how many kids actually did this, like really tried to sell this stuff to win, you know, a guitar or a camera or whatever the prize was.
I don't know. I think like most things that kids do, you would be really gung-ho about it for the first 3 days.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And then you realize that, you know, you'd called all your relatives and your neighbors either slam the door in your face or they were just the scary neighbor that no one will go up to their house.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, well, so much for that. I'm out.
Yeah. I'm sure these companies, I wonder, I wonder if these companies, you know, made a couple bucks off kids doing that. Like, how many kids actually did that? You know, went ahead and ordered the kit of samples to sell, and then, like you said, you know, just kind of went gung-ho for a couple weeks and then petered out, and then, you know, the company kept their money and, waited for the next kid to send away.
That's right. But it probably did not cost much to produce most of these things. You know how cheap the...
Oh, yeah.
We talked about the Foot Locker soldiers. And the books, the pamphlets, those would not have been expensive to print.
Yeah, and greeting cards. I mean, you know, that was one of the big sellers, I think, on these things, was selling greeting cards and all. You know, another one you mentioned earlier, with another one of the famous ones you'd see a lot is the floating ghosts.
Oh, yeah.
Order your very own floating ghost.
The Frankenstein monster, and I know your recent favorite, the moon monster.
That's right, yes, sir, the moon monster. Let's dive into the monsters then while we're at it. You know, there's a really great, the guy, Kurt DeMaris, that did this mail order mysteries book, and, you know, excuse me if I'm mispronouncing his last name, but on his website, Secret Fun Blog, there's a couple flash animations of a character called Flip, this little kid who does this, who orders one of the mail order things. It's a life-size monster. And it's a joy to watch. They even made a live-action version of it that runs about 10 minutes or so. And you can order the DVD right off the website there. And it's worth every penny. It really is. Because it's exactly what we're talking about here. And he orders the 7-foot life-size monster you can control. And turns out basically what you get is a balloon with a monster face on it and a plastic sheet to hang from the balloon and a string.
Wow.
And if you don't have helium, the ghost don't float. So you drag your monster around till the balloon pops.
Well, somehow that seems disappointing.
Right. For a dollar, you get disappointed. Imagine that.
Yeah, because, I mean, I wanted the Frankenstein and the skeleton and the ghost.
Well, see, now
they were all 7 feet tall. Yeah.
Here's the difference. Now, first the ghost, and then there was the monster ghost, which looked like the ad shows a devil head with like a ghost body, but the picture shows it was a balloon with a skeleton head on it in a sheet. And of course, you also got as a bonus a little skeleton plastic thing that looks like it's climbing out of your pocket of your shirt. You get one of those.
Yes, because everyone be the envy of your neighborhood.
The envy of all your friends.
That's right.
But now you go talk about the 7-foot Frankenstein and the skeleton. Now, that was actually kind of cool because what they were posters. I think you have to read all the text of the ad to find that out because the ad initially just says, monster life size, 7 feet tall, glow-in-the-dark eyes, only a dollar. You get a 10-day free trial on it.
Mm-hmm.
But what it was a poster. It was a Frankenstein poster, which is some garish one-color green art. And a skeleton, which looked very happy and walking, but they came in two parts, like the bottom half and the top half, and you had to kind of piece them together to tape them up on your wall.
Mm.
And I think they were on like garbage bag material, like plastic.
Well, I'm looking at one here. It says they're on 80-pound stock, which is pretty substantial paper. But whatever they printed them on. Here's another one. It's a revised one. It's Frankenstein drawn by Jack Davis.
Oh, the Jack Davis one. That would be awesome to have. There were a couple of the Frankenstein ones. There was the Jack Davis one like that, which was just beautiful. Then there was the one that was Frankenstein and Dracula, two different posters, but the ad that had them on it. And those were color pictures. And those were the ones that were on paper.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I have the Dracula one. I got that at a comic shop many years ago. A friend of mine that runs a comic shop had found one for me and did me a real good deal on it, and man, I've got to get that thing framed. It's beautiful. I'm sure it's going to cost a fortune to get a 6-foot frame. But yeah, and those are on paper, and they're gorgeous art and worth every penny of a dollar for those.
Yeah. Was there also a giant robot? I seem to recall there was a robot.
I think there might have been. There was those two, and then the Jack Davis, and there was the other two, the skeleton and the Frankenstein on the plastic. The moon monster was the same way. He came on, I think he was paper, but it was in two parts, folded up. And that one you'd get, I think the ad says a three bonus monster mask, and you get a bunch of pictures. And you get, some Xeroxes of B-movie monster photographs. I'm not sure what size they were. I don't think they were 8x10s. But the three masks you get are actually just Xerox pictures of masks.
Oh. Oh, that hurt.
Now, I don't know about the... Let's see, the robot... I'm not sure if that was a poster or if that was one built. You get a robot is what the thing was. You know, you build your life size robot, build your own monster. Oh, here's the ad I'm thinking of. Wait a minute. It says build your own monster, and it looks like a robot with a Frankenstein head.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the one you're talking about?
Yep.
Okay. Now, let's see, the ad says frightening monster that you can own and control. Greatest illusion. All your friends will listen. You control him. He walks. He talks. Blah, 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 blah. Well, what you get with that for your dollar were plans to build a robot illusion. And it was badly drawn, like almost a kid's drawing of how to build like a robot out of cardboard and furnace pipe for the arms and legs. So that's, you make the robot illusion by building a robot suit for somebody to walk around.
Well, now, speaking of cardboard and PVC pipe, were you ever tempted to get the Polaris submarine?
I knew we were going there. Yes, sir. The Polaris submarine. Oh, man. Yeah. As a kid, I so wanted that because it was like life size, big enough for you and a friend.
Uh-huh.
There was that, and there was also like a rocket ship, I think.
Yeah, there was something similar to it.
Yeah. And... oh, I was so tempted. I really wanted that. But, of course, once again, like I said, my parents wouldn't let me send off for it. But it turns out they were pretty smart. But that actually wasn't really bad what you got. It's just the description of it. What it said was it made you think you were getting this working toy, whatever, that you could fit in submarine. It turns out you got folded up cardboard that you had to assemble into the shape of the submarine. And it had graphics. It was painted,
But it says right here, controls that work, rockets that fire, electrically lit instrument panel.
Yeah, it had like a light bulb, I think, and then a periscope with two little mirrors so you could work those controls. I'm not sure what the rockets that fire bit was, but like I know. Wait, I think there's a picture of it in here. Let me see if I can find it.
I mean, for $7, you'd think you could take this thing out and submerge it.
Well, you could once. I mean, for $7 for a whole submarine, that would sound like a bargain. I mean,
And $6.98 was a lot of money back in 1974.
Yeah, and it was. I mean, that's the thing you got to think about. If your allowance was like 50 cents, if you got that much.
The topic had just gone to 35 cents.
Yeah. But yeah, the Polaris submarine. Oh, man. Well, see, here's the jet rocket spaceship, which I think came out earlier than that, which it vaguely resembles the drawing in the ad. And folded all up and assembled, it looks really kind of cool, but it probably didn't last a day being the really thin cardboard as rough as kids play,
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I would really like to know what the rockets that fire, how they justified that in that ad. I don't see that in this book here, but like I said, it does have the rocket ship. There was another ad I saw an article on years ago, and I remember this was old because it was the, you could win, this isn't something like an actual Gemini space capsule.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
And what it was somebody actually won. It was a test. I think it was a test capsule, a training module, not one that actually went up in the air, but it was life-size, a Gemini test or training space capsule that you could fit two people would sit in. And what ended up happening, the kid that won it, I don't know after how long, after a number of years, anyway, he donated it to the local museum in his town, I think in his town anyway. And so everybody got to enjoy it, but that's probably one of the most awesome comic book ad things ever. For anybody to get, even though it was more of a contest, though. It wasn't,
Revell did that, the company that makes plastic models.
Yeah.
Speaking of plastic models, and build your own Apollo lunar module for only 10 cents. And this is from Science Program, Department 99, Garden City, New York.
Ooh, and I bet it's the same thing. I bet what you got was drawings and plans of how to do it.
Well, they send along 30 precision parts.
Oh, so oh really?
Apparently, it's just some assembly required.
Wow.
But for a dime, you know, that's not a bad deal.
Yeah, okay, here you go. I find the Polaris sub. The picture shows it looks more like a space shuttle than a sub in the pictures. Mm-hmm. White cardboard. And you'd have it shows a little kid sitting in it, and you'd have to be pretty tiny for two kids to fit in this thing. But
yes.
The mystery of the torpedo, the rockets that fire.
Mm-hmm.
It was built-in small mirror periscope and a built-in rubber band torpedo slingshot. That was the rocket that fired.
Now, you see, kids, back then, they didn't care if you put your eye out.
That's right. Builds
but
character.
Just a few short years later, they canceled that Boba Fett action figure because of the firing rocket.
Yeah. Couldn't get a Boba Fett with the firing rocket, but before that, you could get a whole submarine. Man, you know, I tell you, going back to the monster stuff for a second, there's a couple that I've got to touch on because the ads I remember, the monster masks.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? You could get for like $3 or $1.98. You could get, you know, a shock monster or vampire girl or gorilla or werewolf. These masks today are sought after like a champ in monster circles and stuff, and you can't touch them for a dollar anymore.
I am looking at that ad right now, and there's some bandaged head so that you could play, wait a minute, who's the bounty hunter in Empire that's all wrapped up in gauze?
Dengar. Dengar,
yeah,
mask.
So if you'd gotten one of these, you could cosplay Dengar.
Oh, jeez. That's awful.
Oh.
Oh, and horrible hands. World's ugliest hands, and they were just, you know, monster hands for... Oh, this is expensive now. These were expensive ads. $3.98.
Oh, I'm looking at an earlier ad where they only cost $2.25.
Oh.
But another $2.50 for postage.
Well, there you go.
No.
But those things now, man, oh, man, those are sought after today, and you can't touch them. Could have had them. Another one that do you remember you could order the horror sound effects records or whatever? They were $0.95.
Yes.
This is one.
Oh, yeah.
That I had seen for years and years and years. It was invite your friends to a haunting, and at the bottom of it, it's the Gale House haunting was the name of it, or something like that, or the haunting of the Gale House. And the ad had the lettering haunting in red, and then it had this white hooded figure, but with a blue face with big white fangs and a blue clawed hand.
Looking at it right now.
Yeah, and that's one of those images that just stuck with me forever, like the Moon Monster ad. You know, that's one that you would see all the time in those old books. It just kind of, the image, it was iconic, just stuck with you. Well, I always wondered what was on that record, you know, what it sounded like. Well, brother, let me tell you, I finally got a copy.
Was it worth the wait?
It was so worth the wait, and I mean that with loving affection, because it wasn't worth the wait. But oh, man. I got a copy of this Gale House thing at Monster Bash last year. First time going to Monster Bash, which, little aside here, little tangent. If you've never been, the Monster Bash convention in Pennsylvania in June, I think it is every year, is fantastic. It's kind of like what I always, if we were going to take Monster Fest at a library and not make it free, you know, and all that stuff. It's like that on steroids. What I'd always wanted that to be, if we, you know, we're going to charge for it and all. It's all classic monster stuff.
Wow.
There's no Jason. There's no Freddy. There's no Michael Myers. There's no Saw. It's all classic monster stuff. And it's not a big convention, but it's big enough. You know what I mean? It's not Chiller where you're jam-packed and there's too many damn people. It's big enough that there's plenty to do and lots of great dealers, but it's small enough that you don't feel claustrophobic and overcrowded, you know?
Yeah, okay.
And everybody that runs it is just incredibly nice, and all the people that show up to it that we had encounters with were super nice people, and everybody's there just to have fun and enjoy, you know, weekend with classic monsters and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So this dealer, we set up to sell stuff as a dealer. And when the deal right next to us had two or three tables of DVDs and CDs and stuff. So I started flipping through the CDs like one of the last days there and looking, just seeing what was there, you know, because a couple things caught my eye. And I I picked up two things. One was Yes, I Did, and it's Sammy Davis Jr. singing other people's songs, like the theme to Shaft and and stuff like that.
Oh.
Yeah, it's awesome. I'll try to, if I can remember, I'll burn you a copy sometime. It's beautiful.
Excellent.
But another one just caught my eye, and without question, I snapped it up, and it's the Gale House Haunting record.
Mm.
And it was a bonus on the flip side. I had like a Spike Jones Halloween record or something with it. But this, this thing, I paid a little more than a dollar for it, the initial cost of it originally. But it was so worth it just to finally, after, you know, like 40 years, to hear this thing. And I waited till I was driving home from somewhere late at night, so I'd have plenty of time to listen to it. And so I'd have the right mood, you know, it being completely dark. And I think it might have, I can't remember now because it's been a while since I listened to it, but has a little narration on it. And then it goes into a lot of sound effects and banshee noises and sound effects in this old house. And I read this little review of it recently, or this little comment somebody wrote, and this really describes it. It sounds like it's one guy with a lot of household utensils and things, or sound effect stuff, making all these sound effects himself. But it's such a joy to finally listen to this thing and own it after all these years. Oh, man. I would love to get my hands on all of this stuff in here, or at least, you know, a good chunk of it, just to finally have it or see it, or have a little collection, a little display of mail order stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But that was one of the ones. I mean, some of this stuff, like, hey, I keep going back using the word iconic, but it is. I mean, these pictures, these images from these ads are like ingrained into our psyche from seeing them over and over and over and over and over again growing up.
Well, yeah, you remember either the book on how to use hypnosis, or even better, the hypnosis coin.
Oh, yeah, the hypno coin, which all it was like a little piece of plastic with a lenticular swirl design on it.
Right. because, you know, once you had learned the karate from Count Dante, you still might want to just passively subdue your opponent
so you
can hypnotize him, make him your minion.
That's right. That's right.
I found the other vehicle. It's a tank.
Oh, yeah. The cardboard tank.
Cardboard tank.
Man.
With an elevating 90mm cannon, rocket launchers, an intercom system, and a revolving turret.
Ooh, intercom system and revolving turret.
And its final feature, this is what would have made me spend the $6.98, whip, antenna, and flag.
Ooh. If you weren't sold on it with the revolving turret, the antenna, and the flag.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, man, I'm scrolling through here finding some great stuff. Do you remember the spy pin?
Oh, yeah.
Which radio was, spy, because this was a big James Bond kind of thing, right?
Yeah. Well, there were two. There was the radio spy pin, and then there was the spy pin that was like the little telescope.
Yeah,
because you know, nobody would notice this a pin that was like twice as big in diameter as a regular fountain pen in your pocket.
Right.
That was flat on both ends.
here I stumbled across a classic full page. Remember some of these pages? All the products that were offered were so dissimilar that you couldn't believe they all came from one company.
Yeah.
In addition to the Frankenstein and the Monster Ghost here, we have the onion gum.
Yeah.
The disappearing ink.
The skinhead wig.
We have the superhero cape.
Oh.
Skinhead wig. The secret book safe.
Yeah. Oh, the secret book safe, right along with the jackpot bank.
And that oldie but goodie, the Joy Buzzer.
All the Joy Buzzer. And now, also, along with the Joy Buzzer, you had the Secrets of Ventriloquism. Remember that?
Oh, yes.
And turns out all that was, you know, it says, teach you how you learn to throw your voice, fool your friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
And you're thinking, I learned ventriloquism just like in the cartoons, you know. And turns out it's just two metal pieces bound by some kind of elastic or ribbon that somehow you put it in your mouth and speak through it.
Mm-hmm.
Or breathe through it. And,
yeah. Don't swallow it and asphyxiate.
Yeah. Not sure that one really worked. Jumping back, here's another one. Jumping back to the monster stuff. One that I really wanted and remember. And this wasn't really in comics so much as it was in the back of Famous Monsters all the time. was the soil from Dracula's castle. Do you remember that one?
Now, that one I don't ever recall seeing, but that sounds awesome.
It was, well, the ad was awesome. It looks like it's a black background, red and white lettering, genuine soil from Dracula's castle, and it was this gold chain, what looks like a little gold coffin with a glass front and pendant with soil in it, with, you know, with dirt. And it, the text tells you from Dracula's castle and, you know, actual earth from the land and Transylvania and all this. And this was $17.95. This was big money. This was in the 70s, though. This was, you know, later in the 70s. I finally saw one. No, this was about 20 years ago. And I wish I would have got it because it wasn't much more than the $17 at the time. But what it is the chain, of course, is gold-colored, painted or whatever. But the coffin is all a clear acrylic plastic. A little, I mean, all the way around. There's no gold on it whatsoever. And it looks like the dirt is so fine in it. It looks like it could be like nutmeg or something instead of maybe dirt.
Yeah, I found the ad now. I'm looking at
it.
Yeah,
you get a certificate of authenticity. The ad, the way I guess the lighting was hitting on the plastic makes it look like it's gold trimmed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I think it does say in the ad that it's transparent or something like that. But it looks, for all intents and purposes, it looks like you're getting this gold pendant. I would still have one of these if I could find one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, just, you know, the amazing novelty of it to say, I've got this and no one else does.
Oh, yeah, exactly, exactly. And it's one of those things I always wanted to get that. And it's like, well, okay, now I have one. I can, you know, I can say that I have it.
But, you know, there's a lot of, like, the really cheap stuff, like, you know, the finger chopper, the magic tricks, right? Finger chopper,
oh, yeah.
And the camera, and the money making thing where you'd run blank paper through it and it would print dollars.
The money machine, yeah. Which is just an old, you know, sleight of hand magic trick thing where you'd load the dollar in there earlier when nobody was around and roll it out.
I am looking at kryptonite. I want to come back to the monsters later because, you know, there's a good one to end with, of course.
Oh, okay.
But the
okay.
Kryptonite rocks.
Yeah, the kryptonite rocks. Yeah, yeah. Which was just a glow in the dark. Yeah, rock.
Right. Something similar like the crystals that grew, because I stumbled across an ad here that said, grow your own monsters.
Oh.
What were those?
I don't know. Was that repackaging sea monkeys or something?
Well, I can't tell if it's sea monkeys or if it's one of those things where you had the rapidly multiplying crystals. You know, you'd put them in water and within a matter of hours, you have
yeah.
really nice crystal formation.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But this says, grow two living monsters in your own room.
Two living monsters.
Yeah. And what I am reminded of, this is really interesting to me, one short story by Stephen King, and I want to say the other is by Ray Bradbury. Okay. And they're both about guys that get stuff mail order. Now, I think what the kids did was order some... didn't they used to sell like a Venus flytrap?
Yeah. You could. That was another ad. You could order a Venus flytrap, an actual Venus flytrap plant.
In Bradbury's story, I think it is the kid has something growing in the basement, and you know, small neighborhood pets begin to disappear, and then don't go down in the basement, and let's just say things go awry.
Yeah, like they do.
And in the Stephen King story, the Foot Locker full of soldiers is what shows up.
Uh-huh.
But the guy didn't order them. They're actually a death squad under contract. And I mean, now that
That's
I've
awesome.
Seen pictures of the soldiers, this is even more impossible to believe.
Yeah.
But apparently the infantry troops cut their way out of the Foot Locker, and then they come after him with a howitzer. They trap him in his own bathroom, and when he tries to escape, they've got a Black Hawk helicopter.
Oh, jeez.
And the story ends when he realizes the side of the box that contains one thermonuclear missile. So
awesome.
You know, you never knew what you were actually going to get when you ordered this stuff.
That's true. And he took it and ran with it.
Mm.
You know, another one like that, the misleading things of these ads, or not so much the misleading, but the way it's worded in the picture just makes your imagination race into something entirely different or something much better than what you got. Do you remember the air car? The hovercraft
yes.
you could get.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, you think you're getting this little, you figured it was some kind of a toy, but you got this, you were going to get this hovercraft that would float over water and all this. And turns out, apparently it actually did work to a degree. Small little toy. But what they didn't tell you in the ad, I don't think, is that it's connected by like a 5-foot cord, and that's the remote control of it. And apparently it never did really steer very well with that, even with that remote control. But, you know, that was in this ad, that was $4.49. So that was, you know, we're getting into some money.
Yeah.
One of the worst ones, I think, 9-foot hot air balloon. You remember seeing ads for that?
That I don't. That
this may have been an older ad. I don't remember it either, but I'm looking at this ad here. Turns out it says rises to amazing heights on just hot air for $2. Okay, it turns out what it was. You get it in an envelope. Okay, it's supposed to be a 9-foot hot air balloon. And mm-hmm. you get, see, you got some wire, some string, a whole lot of tissue paper. And it says, the description says, you receive cryptic instructions on how to glue the tissue paper together to form a giant balloon.
Wow.
You talk about a pissed off kid.
Oh, that's harsh.
Oh, man. I mean, you know, and some of the stuff, like, you remember the Secret Agent spy camera that was that little bitty camera? And
yep.
Which actually apparently did take pictures, but they're not great pictures, you know?
Oh, no.
Grainy black and white. And you, but so you'd get stuff that would work sometimes, and then sometimes you get stuff that just, no.
Yeah, the one thing I was never tempted to order was the mystery box.
Oh.
Yeah. Although, apparently, you know, this is all the rage. But you know how everybody's got a mail-away box now?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Right, you know, a box full of comics, a box full of some kind of merchandise, right?
Yeah.
Even the high-class stuff where you get a box of clothing hand-selected for you every month.
Yeah.
But way back in the day, of course, it was just the mystery box for like 50 cents. You had no idea what you're getting, but it was cool because it was a surprise.
Yeah, surprise. Oh, God, and there's all the novelties and the magic tricks, the mystic smoke from your fingertips. Mm. Remember that one?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Which I've seen this one in person. I think I got this when I was a kid from a novelty shop. And what it is a tube of gel-like stuff and has, like, fibers, like hair almost, kind of, like, real fine. And you rub it together, and then when you pull your fingers apart, it gives the illusion that it's kind of like smoke.
Okay.
I could never get it to work very good as a young kid, so I'll give a pass on that one. Oh, man, what's some of the other stuff? Well, then the novelty stuff, like the itching powder and the whoopee cushion and the chattering teeth.
Decals.
Joy buzzer, like you said earlier.
You'd get decals, which, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You'd stick all over your bike, because we all rode bikes back then.
Yeah. Now, that, you're getting your money's worth there, because you get $1 and you get 20 or 30 decals. And what more did you want, you know, from that?
Yeah. How about the fake hair? I've stumbled across this one twice now, where you can... you know, you got, you could make a mustache, you could make a Van Dyke, you could make a goatee. You had the long sideburns. You could change your appearance instantaneously. Now, again, if you already knew the death touch from Count Dante, and you had the hypno coin, you were going to be your town's unsung local hero, right?
That's right.
No one would know your secret identity.
Because you could just change your hair like that.
That's right. That's right.
And what 12-year-old wouldn't want to have, you know, a goatee and long sideburns?
I would have looked like Vegas Elvis with
these sideburns. Oh, man. And lest we forget, you know, the ads for the fake doggy do and the foaming soap that you could get. And
oh, yes.
Oh, God. Oh, here's an ad. I think I remember seeing this, but I never really read it, because why would you read this ad? But now I'm looking at it. Save half on a new electronic accordion.
An electronic accordion.
Yeah, I'm not even going to read that ad.
No. Oh, God. What else did they try to rope us with? A phony cast?
Oh, yeah.
You had a broken arm?
Yeah. Phony arm casts, you know.
A deck of magic playing cards.
Yeah.
Here's a boomerang. Oh. Hey, boomerangs are pretty cool, but...
Yeah. You had to have, like, a big open lot to use it, though.
And and nobody had any, that kind of space.
No, right? No. You try to go out and throw it in the woods and get it lost when it bounce off a tree and go under some leaves.
And, you know, once you move away from those classic ads, things began to change. You know, the other thing that I remember constantly in all those comics, of course, were the Hostess ads. And, of course, this isn't stuff that you would order. Those were just, you know, every crime could be solved if you just gave Dr. Doom Twinkie or
Hostess cupcakes.
Yes.
But, you know, those ads were just as iconic as the stuff to order, though, because I remember those.
They were awesome.
And they had, like, guys like Neil Adams doing the art for most of them, you know, or Aparo or something. I mean, they had top-notch artists. It wasn't like, you know, they throw a bone to some up-and-coming guy.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, and those were all over, like, the inside front cover, inside back cover of comics all the time. But yeah, you could solve any problem, any crime, by throwing them a Hostess ho-ho, and that would fix it.
Or a fruit pie.
Yeah, fruit pie. Wasn't that the mummy, the Batman and Robin with the mummy?
That's at least one of them, yes.
No, the Hostess fruit pie. Man, kids don't know what they're missing.
No, they do not.
Wow. I tell you, I'll say it again. If anybody's still listening, this is a must-have book. Mail Order Mysteries. Go on Amazon and get it right now. I cannot express how much joy there is in this book. You know, you always wonder what these things were, and those of us that weren't fortunate enough to ever order any of it never knew. And I mean, I'm talking, you know, over 40 years or so, you know, being a kid and reading comics and stuff. And I just got this book a couple years ago. So it took me that long. And I finally get to see what some of the stuff actually is and what it was. And it's amazing to see which ones were actually, well, that's pretty much what it said. Like the Greedy Fingers Bank, which was you put a coin on there and a skeleton hand would come out and slide the coin in there. It's exactly what you got for $3. And it was worth every penny. But then the stuff like the balloon ghost and the army men, it's like, well, that's not exactly what the ad described.
yeah. So buyer beware. You know,
that's what we'll title this episode, Buyer Beware.
And then again, eventually, you know, those things began to give way to other things. You'd get bigger house ads. It was weird going into the later 70s, of course, when they started trying to sell us shoes.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, those ads, I guess, were not the shoe ads, but the things that finally got me were... I said I'd come back to the best part of the monsters. Do you remember the Aurora model kits?
Oh, that they would sell in comics?
Yeah. Not the dinosaurs, but like the torture chamber and
That was like early 70s was the torture chamber stuff. And even the ads in the late 60s of the Universal Monsters, you know, the Aurora monster models were beautiful ads. Real color and, you know, a lot of color and garish and just really in your face. And then, like you say, when they got into the torture chamber kits, which didn't last but a couple of years, because parents got in an uproar of selling model kits of torture devices to our little impressionable children. but the ads were beautiful for those things.
And all of that stuff is gone now. None of the contemporary comics carry anything like this.
No
chattering teeth and no real working electric motor.
Yeah. No rocket firing Polaris sub or, you know,
switchblade.
Switchblade comb. Exactly.
Because you were cool if you had a switchblade comb.
Oh, you know, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, who wouldn't want one? When we went, one of the first times that we went to the drive-in in Pennsylvania, and we went in the, I don't know if you were with us on this trip or not, and we went to the zombie museum that used to be in the mall there.
Monroeville.
And Craig was dying to get a switchblade comb like Savini had in Dawn of the Dead. And they sold him, and I think he got one. It was awesome.
Oh, that's terrific.
It's neat to see some of that stuff is still around, you know. There's a great company called Archie McPhee.
Yes.
That's, you can see it online. Definitely look this thing up if you've never seen it. Archie McPhee. And they sell all that kind of novelty stuff, kitschy stuff. And they come out with new products all the time along the lines of this type of stuff. But they don't try to, like the old comic ads, mislead you and thinking it's something great, because they show actual pictures of it. And it's but it's so, if the nostalgia value of that stuff is through the roof. If you like this kind of stuff, go to the Archie McPhee website right now and order a pile of stuff. It's well worth it.
For $3, Aladdin's Own Lucky Genie.
Ooh.
Cast from ancient original 24-karat gold plate.
Ancient original.
For $3.
Ancient original gold plate. Okay.
Yes.
Man. Yeah, it's amazing how this stuff was just over and over and over and over, and how these companies managed to stay in business for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And then just all of a sudden, boom, they're gone now. A lot of this stuff, like the novelty magic tricks and things like that, you can still find in novelty stores, but you're not going to see the deadliest fighting techniques. You're not going to find that booklet anywhere. Maybe online. But the ad for it, and or the Hercules wristbands, or perform magic tricks, amaze your friends, or secret spy scope, all the stuff that got you excited as a kid, this little little nonsense stuff, along with reading the comics, that it doesn't exist. And it's really a shame, because this was just fun stuff, and it's kept you looking forward to getting or wanting, or until you grew out of it, grew a little older and grew out of it. But nostalgia value of it now is amazing to me.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, you think about, yes, the price has gone up on the books. Yes, the economy chugs along. Everything costs more now.
Yeah.
But the entertainment value that you got out of a comic back then when you were a kid, when you're not really studying the art and you're not paying attention to page composition or all the things that you eventually learn to do later, but you're absorbed in the story.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have all these crazy ads.
Oh, yeah.
And every single month you're left wondering, what if I could get that? What is that really like?
Yeah. I mean, you got all this extra stuff from the book. I mean, you got the, the color and the action and the heroes and the characters that you liked. And then in between that, you got this, like you say, the stuff of, oh, man, I want that. Oh, I wish I could get that. Oh, man, what it would be like to have that. And keeps you entertained just thinking about that stuff hours after or days after you finish reading the comic,
Yeah, and I don't know if your experience was like mine, but, when comics were still on a spinner rack, you didn't get every issue. You got like every third or fourth issue.
Yeah, or you'd get every issue but one. You'd miss one in the middle there somewhere.
You would build your understanding of that entire superhero universe based on the letters column. And what other people were talking, raving about the issue that you missed.
Yeah, that was great stuff, man.
Years, you'd eventually track that comic down at a show and get it for a fairly reasonable price, and you'd open it up to read it, and you'd learn, A, filler artist, not the regular guy. B, the important thing happened in one panel as a kind of throwaway event. And overall, you didn't miss anything, but like the Star Wars prequels. For 30 years, you built up in your mind what had happened in that missing issue. And that's what the ads were every month.
Oh, yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Did you ever do this? Like, get with a friend or something, and you'd go, okay. And you'd open to the ad and say, okay, if you could only get two things, and you'd pick two things out of the whole ad, like, two things you really wanted. And you're sitting there thinking, well, see, I want that, but I don't know if I want to get the submarine or the werewolf mask. A submarine or the werewolf mask. I got to get the deadliest fighting secrets. But
yeah.
And, that would keep you entertained for, an hour, a couple hours or something, just doing that. That was fun, man, Hell, I still do that in my head today when I pick up an old comic.
I love old comics for that reason. If you get the really old ones, I think it's some Silver Age Superman or action.
Yeah.
And way in the back, there's this ad for like a discount on admission at
Palisades Amusement Park.
Yeah, that amusement park.
Yeah.
It was in New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
Palisades, is
yeah,
that right?
I yeah, I think it was, yeah.
And I'm thinking...
I just saw that the other day in a comic, too, man.
Will they still honor this ad? Should I cut this?
You know, if that amusement park is still there, I would do it. I would take the ad. Hey, do you guys still honor this?
Yeah.
I was looking at that very same ad not 2 days ago.
Man.
Yeah, I just went not long ago. I think it was with Tony. We stopped by a couple comic shops. And, of course, I'm looking at the dollar bin, you know, and because you always find some good, you know, good reading, just something good to read. And I found a couple of 12-centers in there that, you know, in various conditions. I got, like, a Metamorpho and, was a World's Finest or a Mr. Miracle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, beautiful stuff. Great artwork. I mean, you know, the Mr. Miracle, of course, Kirby. You can't lose with that.
Yeah, you can't lose there.
No, and I'm not sure who was doing the Metamorpho, but a beautiful color on the covers.
Probably Ramona Freyden.
It could have been.
12-center.
Yeah, the art inside and the story, just fun, a fun read, not overly gritty or trying to be too realistic and dark, you know, drab colors and all. But the ads in those things are just a joy. So many different types of things, like you say, that, you know, is just as entertaining as the book itself on so many different levels. And it's just a shame that there's comics aren't like that nowadays. There's no real joy in these days.
Well, you know, in their own way, they use it, because you've mentioned several times about, you know, be careful of the wording and did you really get what they promised you. Those ads were the comic book equivalent of, like, remember when you would open the newspaper and you had an entire page of movie ads?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I know we're kind of veering off into left field here.
That's all right.
Bear with me. You have this entire page of movie ads when you still had a lot of theaters in your town.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And you had the first-run theaters, and then you had the second-run theaters, and then you had the drive-ins.
Yeah.
And some of these ads, especially for the drive-ins, would be like quarter page.
Yeah.
And the exploitation movies, of course, you know, because you know how lurid those ads were anyhow.
Oh, yeah.
You were just dying to see these movies, right? Because you were convinced this was going to be the most awesome thing ever.
We could do a whole episode on just that topic alone. In fact, we probably will.
Put it down for a future date, yes.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right. It's the same thing. It's the sensationalism, the hucksterism of it. Just like those ads for the drive-ins and things like that. These ads for these trinkets and, you know, plastic shiny things caught your attention just like that. I mean, you know, I keep going back to the world's deadliest fighting secrets. You know, life-size, 7-foot-tall monster. You have my attention.
And there were,
tell
there
me
were
more.
So many of those karate-type ads. You know,
oh,
if you didn't go with Count Dante, somebody else would teach you karate.
Kung fu, learn the secrets of jujitsu, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
it was something that nobody else could possibly know.
No, and you could get the secrets for a dollar and a quarter right here and beat up your whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, you know, get you some sea monkeys while you're at it. Why not?
Oh, yeah. Well, everybody needs sea monkeys. They're just adorable. Look at them.
You know, talking about that type of stuff, the magic rocks. Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned you could always get see the ad get right beside the sea monkeys, probably, for the grow magic rocks, you know, in water and all this. They're still available. I want to say I saw them. I don't know if it was Walmart or Target or in the toy section. There was a box and you could get magic rocks, but they had the way it was presented was different, like the little tank you get with it, a little plastic tank, and I think it had a shark with it, you know, a plastic shark that would be in the tank or a backdrop behind it. But those are still around, so that's kind of cool. But there's no sensationalism to sell it, except the little plastic
the
backdrop.
Shark.
Yeah.
Here's a printed piece of cardboard that you just bend in a semicircle and put it behind your fishbowl.
Yeah. And if it was an ad in the comic, though, it'd say, you know, realistic scenery.
That's right.
And
that's
beautiful. So much of this stuff.
You tell kids that today, they won't believe
you. Nope, they sure won't believe you. And it always comes back to Python.
Oh.
Man.
Here's one.
Yeah.
Here's one. This is from the Kubert School, so you can't really knock it. But learn to be a comic book artist.
Oh, yeah.
$1 for the first comic book art lesson.
Wow.
Specially prepared by Norman Marr and Joe Kubert.
That's worth a dollar?
Yeah, well, hell, if you're going to learn how to draw from Kubert, yeah, I'd pay a dollar.
Yeah.
I'd pay $10.
Well, that'd be 10 lessons, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, shoot, then Enemy Ace would be right up my alley.
There you go.
I'd get the backup job for Sergeant Rock. That is some beautiful stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, I can't say enough of how much fun this stuff is. And to every time I see one of those ads in these older comics, of course, I have to read through the entire ad, you know, see if there's anything mm-hmm. that I'd never seen before or anything that just, you know, sparks a memory like, oh, man, I remember seeing that. I always wanted that. You know, mm-hmm. always wanted to build a body of steel or throw my voice or, you know, learn karate for a dollar.
Well, the x-rays, we started with the x-ray specs, but you always wondered, you know, do those really work? Oh, and if they do, what else can I get from this company?
Yeah, and as a kid, you're sure they worked, as a young kid, because it was mm-hmm. printed, and you read it, so it had to be true.
Yes.
Just like, you know, people believe everything on the internet these days.
mm-hmm. Do you remember the Kung Fu sandals?
Oh, yeah, they were right beside the wristband, weren't they? The Hercules wristband.
I mean, you could outfit yourself. You know, you didn't have to be a millionaire or a billionaire like Bruce Wayne or Tony Stark.
No.
If you got the right ads from the back of the comic book, you would have an entire crime-fighting superhero arsenal.
For $10, you could become the next crime fighter in town.
You had the robot that you had built as your minion.
Yeah.
You had x-ray vision and the power of hypnosis and a death touch and this killer Charles Atlas body.
You could get your kung fu sandals for your footwear, your Hercules wristband.
And those amazing sideburns to disguise
yourself. Your life-size monsters along with your robot
You had a tank, a jet rocket, a submarine at your disposal.
Man, that's right.
And an entire army. You had an entire army that you could call.
So there you go. You could rule your town.
Oh, goodness sake.
On the outside, $20. You could get all that. And have it delivered to your house. You didn't even have to leave the house to go do it.
Yeah. You would build up in your mind all summer long, and all this stuff would show up right before school came back in. And, of course, then none of the bullies would mess with you.
And that's right, because you'd just be the man, you know.
That's right. And if all else fails, you get them with the onion gum and the disappearing ink.
And throw some engine powder on them, you're done. You call it a day. You know, I want to go now, when we get done here, I want to go through some old comics and look now and find the original ads.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'll definitely be posting pictures of a lot of this stuff.
Here is an exploding army hand grenade for only $1. Now, it's completely harmless because you wouldn't want shrapnel.
Well, no.
But it has a heavy-gauge steel firing mechanism. It's a cap gun.
Ah, okay.
That's what's really amazing about it. Is you read the fine print. All it is a, you know, typical, what they call those grenades, pineapple grenades?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Okay. And you drop it, and the metal would hit the cap.
And yes, and it's just like a cap pistol. Just bang. Really awesome, okay? For $1.
For a dollar.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And you couldn't really get hurt.
No.
That's, I think, the important thing. You couldn't really get hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is not little Ralphie with the amazing Daisy BB gun, air rifle. This is just good, clean, harmless fun.
Yeah, and all this stuff was. I mean, you know, you'd get what you paid for the most part, mm-hmm. whether it's crap or whether it's something that's kind of fun. I mean, you know, what did you really expect for $1? You know, $1.25 or whatever. But the anticipation, I think, is what you're paying for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the weeks of waiting for it is worth the $1 you spent.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you be willing to pay $1.25 for a Walther PPK 22 caliber pellet firing Stinger automatic that comes with 50 22 caliber pellets for free?
Yes, I would. And it's probably a little plastic, thin plastic gun with little rubber pellets or something.
Yeah, it's probably one step up from a squirt gun.
Yeah, from the potato spud gun. Remember the ads for that?
Wow.
Oh, it's such a joy, this stuff. You know, and to have a few of these things, to have them now, the original ones, would just be, it'd be amazing. Piece of nostalgia, or, you know, Americana, if you will.
Absolutely.
Because it is kind of, it's history. I mean, it's our pop culture history of a, of a certain age, kids that grew up in the 60s and 70s, and even through the 80s a little bit. You know, still, that was still around. A lot of this stuff was still around. I'll bet it was a few dollars more. But yeah, I just, man, it was so neat to see all that stuff. And now it's just, you know, I haven't really thought about it in that way in a long time. But yeah, none of that stuff is in comics anymore, or in the backs of magazines or comic magazines or monster magazines like that. I think
it's been a while since I picked a comic up.
Yeah.
But
we ain't missing much.
The last time I did, you know, everything is a house ad for some other book.
Yeah.
And, of course, the paper is really nice. You know, the paper in modern comics is gorgeous.
Yeah.
So the art is much better. The reproduction of the art is so much better. But it's almost too slick, you know.
It is.
Wow.
I
would trade this for crappy newsprint where the ink comes off on your fingers.
And the smell, smell of the paper and the ink was one thing. You don't get
all that
adolescent
joy back.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. 100% agree with you there. Definitely. I'll pick up a new comic nowadays. And even one that I, you know, one of the few that I still read and enjoy reading. I enjoy the story. You know, I enjoy the art on, for the most part, on some of them. But I don't have the dare I say, giddy excitement and joy that I feel when I pick up an older book. Printed, like you say, on the cheaper paper, the newsprint with all the ads and the bright colors, and it, 'cause it has a certain feel to the paper and the smell of the paper and the ink. And it could be just, it could be nostalgia. It could be just, you know, sense memory flooding back. But regardless of what it is, it's fun and it's pleasurable on a lot of different levels. And it just, and entertainment, just pure entertainment.
Well, now, granted, when you were younger, you know, there's so much perspective has changed. But do you recall it took a lot longer to read a comic when you were a kid?
I have thought about that numerous times over the years. It did. It seemed like, and I wasn't a slow reader by any means,
right?
Imagination. But it did seem like it took longer, and I guess there were more pages.
I don't even know if it took, you know, there were more pages. And I'm not thinking that, you know, I spent a lot of time poring over the art panel by panel, because I didn't. I mean, I realize, you know, comics by definition, they've got art.
Yeah.
But I found, you know, I would read the word balloons and kind of glance over the action unless there was a really great picture that caught my eye.
Yeah.
So I wasn't reading them for their intended purpose, I guess. But still, it seemed like it took a lot longer because you get way more absorbed in the story.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's like, wow, I can blitz through this thing in like 5-6 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and then going back to with all the ads, you know, the ads for all this wondrous stuff to buy, you know, that made your imagination race, you'd stop and look at these ads and read them. So that's also something that made it take a little longer and give you more value for your money. It would take you longer to get through the book because you're stopping in the middle of the story and you're reading this ad and going, oh, that's cool, that's cool, that's, ooh, I want one of those. Okay, and then you flip back, get back in the story, read a couple pages of the story, and then, oh, there's another ad. Ooh, man, I'd love to have one, a full-size submarine, you know, and then you look at it, oh, that's awesome, you know, and then you go back to the story. And so, yeah, it would take you twice as long back then to where there's no break or stop to get you to interested or catch your eye for something else. You know,
That's pretty much how it seemed to me.
Yeah. What you gonna do?
I don't know. I mean, even the house ads. Of course, these are really before our time, but back in the early Silver Age.
Yeah.
Middle Silver Age. DC in particular had those house ads, Cap's Hobby Tips, and, and things like that. That's a completely different topic, but still, those would stop you, and you'd go, "Hey."
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then, yes, eventually back to the story.
Yeah. Well, you know, and also, too, you're talking about the house ads. They also had, you know, from the House of Ideas, or, you know, they had their own sensationalism to the ads. And especially promoting something new that's coming. I remember there's this one DC ad where It was broken into three sections. It was a full, I might probably a full page ad. And the top section was like the superheroes,
mm-hmm.
of which there were only maybe six or seven in this ad, if that many. And then the middle section was the weirder stuff, like the fantasy stuff, like Stalker or the other stuff like the Avenger.
Oh, Justice yeah, Inc. Right. This would have been the time of the explosion.
Yeah, yeah. And then the, mm-hmm. the I think the under that was then the horror stuff, like the House of Secrets and
yes.
the Witching Hour.
I know what you're talking about.
That,
yeah.
You know, that was a cool ad because you got the different genres of stuff they did, which, and it wasn't mm-hmm. a ton of glutton of stuff. Like, there wasn't five different Batman titles and six different Justice League titles and stuff. You know, it was just these, boom, here's what we've got. Here's new stuff you might not see. Weird stuff is coming, and here's the horror stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah, because this would have been about the time that they introduced that whole fantasy line with Warlord and...
Yeah, yeah.
And you mentioned Stalker, yeah.
Which is one I never read, but I can see the image in the ad. You know, that's one thing that just kind of stuck in my head over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And the picture of the Avenger from Justice Inc. kind of leaning back and pointing his gun to the side in that
yeah,
ad.
Yeah, wasn't that ad, that was, I know that was a house ad because it was like more than one artist had worked on that and they had just assembled it.
Yeah.
From pieces.
Yeah, it was just pieces from different books and had that shot of Dead Man crouching down.
Uh-huh. Which was probably Neil Adams.
Yeah, more than likely, yep. Yeah. Eye-catching, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Made you stop and look at it.
And those were the kind of ads, those and the ones that, the other house ads that occasionally ran for other books. I remember, again, going back to the Silver Age, finding an old issue of, say, Action Comics,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And somewhere along the way, there are house ads for upcoming Superman, Adventure, Lois Lane, Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And you'd go, oh, back, I know this is good, we're going off on another tangent, we should come back to this in the future
yeah.
podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Back when the cover sold the book, and you weren't just going in as a completist going, well, it's March, the next issue of should
yeah.
be out this week,
uh-huh.
and you went in and bought it, and you don't even look at the cover.
Yeah. I was just getting
right.
ready to say something about that. The rare ads that showed the cover of a book coming out, and you're like, oh, just on the cover alone, it's like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I'm gonna get that. I gotta find out what that's all about. Yeah,
because I remember distinctly that was how I thought someday I'm gonna go to a con and I'm gonna dig through these back issue boxes and I'm gonna find these issues of The Witching Hour,
yep.
and Our Army at War and Mystery in Space because those are three cool books that I missed.
Yeah,
and those books were already 6-8 years old. You know, by the time
uh-huh.
I found the ad,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, I remember doing that myself. Coming across some older issues and seeing that stuff going, oh, man, I got to find that. I'd love to read that.
I guess you really don't get that kind of drive
yeah.
out of contemporary ads. You know, I mean,
uh-huh.
all the house ads now are very slick, and they're promoting, of course, the upcoming summer crossover.
Yeah, the big,
the upcoming
industry-changing event. Yeah.
Yes. But nothing that made you go, oh, man.
Yeah.
I have got to find that book.
Exactly, exactly.
My God, here is one. Speak of the devil. Here's one.
Uh-huh.
When Kirby came to D.C.,
oh,
here's a house ad.
Yeah.
Kirby's coming, and it's the cover of Jimmy Olsen 133,
uh-huh.
where, you know, D.C. being what it was, Kirby has done the entire cover, and then they've got somebody like who Al Plastino or somebody,
uh-huh.
Kurt Swan, somebody has gone back and redrawn Superman because he's definitely not in Kirby's style.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Because he had
but
to be.
Everybody else is.
Yeah,
but even so, you know, the whole point of that was, you know, we got Kirby from Marvel. This is going to be awesome. And you're like, I've got to get this.
Uh-huh.
And that's how you sold low-selling books like House of Secrets or, you know, something else that didn't move, Black Hawk.
Yeah.
Things that didn't move a lot of copies because you put those ads in a better-selling book and the cover popped enough. Oh.
Uh-huh.
And you sold it as a single issue based on the cover and not as, well, this is part 13 of a 27-part
yeah.
story. You've got to get it or you won't know what's going on.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, you know, they really knew how to use the ads back then to
mm-hmm.
to suck you in and get you excited about something. And it wasn't in a patronizing way. You know, like you say, it wasn't, get this issue, then you get this issue continuing in this other book, and get number 6 and 7 of this other book to finish the story. No, it was like, look at this incredibly cool cover. You know you want it. And you're like, yes, I do.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think it's because the entire audience for comics, I mean, I realize you and I are older.
Yeah.
The entire audience for comics has grown up, because do you know any adolescents or young adults who are still reading comics? I mean, when I say young adults, I mean, do you know anybody in high school or younger who reads comics?
Not personally, off the top of my head. I can't say that I do. And that's a whole nother kettle of fish to get into as to why.
I know, and I don't want to take us there.
Going to conventions, like either horror convention, sci-fi convention, or comic shows, I see all ages. Now, how many of them are actually reading the books at all, or how many are there just to do costumes or just fans of the mm-hmm. movies? I don't know. I would say it's a large chunk of it is the other, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how many of them are actually reading the books? Well, you know, and speculation on that can go on and on again. And I'm going to watch how I do this. I'm going to state that I firmly believe the reason not as many kids are reading the comics these days is because there's no ads to draw them in and get them excited about, you know, buying other stuff in addition to the comics to hold their attention in the comics.
Well,
did I bring that back around?
I don't want to take us too far afield on that either, but I agree with you, because you think when it was targeted toward a younger audience,
yeah,
the ads were a big attraction. They were part of the entertainment value.
Yeah.
And now
they're not targeted towards a younger audience anymore.
No.
And what they've tried to do that with some books where the art is what I call like kiddie art. And it's funny because Tony cracks me up talking about comics. I love to get into comic conversations with him about stuff, because, well, you know, he's real insightful about it too. And he, you know, really thinks about it, like, you know, we're talking and stuff. But we were in a comic shop a while back, and he picks up this comic, and I forget what it was, but he says, "Who is this for? You know, look at the art. Who is this aimed towards?" Because it's kind of kiddie, almost cartoonish art, but not as good as like the DC animated stuff is.
Uh huh.
You know, but it's not good. It's not good anatomically art at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of kiddie, trying to, I guess, cash in on that kitsch stuff. But it's just not working on any level. Who is the target audience for that? You know, it can't be for kids, because I'm going to go out on a limb and say up to a certain age, young kids mm-hmm. are pretty much the same across the board for decades as far as priorities yeah. about having fun and what they enjoy, you know, basic stuff. We grew up and reading comics. They had really good artists doing them.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. It wasn't kiddie funny. I mean, you had your Richie Rich and your Archie and stuff like that, but I'm talking about the basic superhero books and stuff. You know, it was bright, it was colorful, it was good artist. We weren't being played down to. And we enjoyed it and loved it and read it and still read them the rest of our lives. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The stuff that's coming out now, I don't think they know who the market is or who they're trying to market it to, because there's no real giants in the art field anymore, I don't think.
No.
And there's a couple of good artists out there, and then there's this weird, I'm trying to get my own style or trying to do kiddie art, and it doesn't, I just don't see that appealing to kids or adults, really. You know?
Yeah, and the only place I was really going with that tonight is that much like, you know, and this is going to sound like I'm taking this further afield, but I swear I'm not.
Yeah.
You used to not be able to get a lot of cool toys. Now you can get all kinds of cool toys, but they are mostly produced for an adult collector market. The audience
yes.
is built in.
Yes.
And the comics the same way. They're produced for an adult collector market. We know you're going to come back and buy this next month. We also know that you're 46 years old and you've got a mortgage, and you're not interested in ads for X-ray specs and fake dog poo and a mm-hmm. 7-foot mm-hmm. ghost. What you want is to be kept up to date with the latest, you know, multi-issue, multi-line crossover. And it's a very insular, cannibalistic even
yeah.
industry at this point. And it deliberately shuts out kids. So there's nothing there for them if they don't already have all the backstory.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, hey, let's hold that right there, because that is a good topic to get into, to maybe get Tony in this with us and have the three of us go on for about 3 hours just talking about this. Because I know he'd have a lot to say, and I got a lot more to say. I know you got a lot more to say. And I know we could be talking forever on this and really get into some good stuff, I think, too. But I'm gonna hold on to that topic, write that down, and we will definitely come back and do one, get the three of us in on that.
Yeah, you do that and jot down those other ideas, too, about the movie posters. And
Oh, yeah. Because that'll be some great stuff. Did you have a good mail order bit to close with on this?
I don't think that I do, because
I think we covered pretty much all the great stuff. The good stuff and the bad. Okay, let's do this. What is the most iconic thing that sticks out to you, remember, that has stayed with you over the years, and or that you'd like to have right now if you could get one?
Well, almost, I'll say the most iconic thing has got to be the Sea Monkeys, just because of that art. They looked like a delightful little cartoon family.
Yeah.
And more brine shrimp. They didn't look anything like that.
No, they did.
So probably the most amazing and yet most disappointing ad ever has to be the Sea Monkeys.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the stuff that I've always wondered what if, until I eventually found out the truth about it, was, you know, the 7-foot ghost or the Polaris sub.
Yeah.
Because those two things were just literally amazing. I want a submarine and a ghost.
Yeah, you know, and you thought the submarine too. It's like, even if it doesn't work, I'd have a cool sub I could just play in.
Oh yeah,
you know, and then you get, you know, if you were to get it, it's this piece of cardboard or a bunch of cardboard. You tab A into slot B that wouldn't last the day. For me, it would definitely have been the 6-foot-tall monsters. One of those various ads for either the Moon Monster or the Frankenstein and Dracula posters. Just because, you know, my love of the monsters and stuff, and just constantly being barraged by those ads. And then the Deadliest Fighting Secrets, the Count Dante. The Count Dante. Brother, let me tell you, I found online a picture of the Black Dragon Fighting Society membership card that you got in this ad. Because, you know, you got a membership card when you got the booklet. Yeah, I printed it out. I have the membership card now.
I love the Google, because I just found it.
I have one of the membership cards. I printed it out. I finally got one.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Oh, but yeah, those would probably be the two for me. The 6-foot monster and the Count Dante Deadliest Fighting Secrets ad. Well, this has been a pretty good one. I think we covered a lot of ground on this and went off on some tangents. We haven't really gone off on many good tangents the last few episodes. We've just been straight ahead knocking them out. So this was a lot of fun.
Me, Captain Tangent.
Right on. All right. Well, I think I will close out on this one here. And be sure, everybody, to check back on the Phantasmo After Dark Facebook page. I'm going to post a lot of pictures of all this mail order stuff I can find in the on the page there, one of the albums, so you too can bask in the glory. And... and check back with us again. Check back on the page. And if you can think of anything that we missed or forgot or didn't mention, you know, drop us a line on the Facebook page there and let us know. So with that being said, till next time, thanks for listening, everybody. Good night.